sell it for your dollar bills. Cause more than money, we're seeking for wisdom, trying to improve our freedom. Hey, there is no insanity nursing in our bosom. Still, you wanna treat us like hoodlums. You're lying, you're cheating, you're killing, but we're still standing, shouting,
welcome.
Protesting, resisting.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 21 of the Final Hour. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Thanks for listening in on RBN. Just a reminder that RBN staff's taking the next week Christmas off, so it's a good time to catch up on any archives that you might have missed and any shows that anybody sent you and catch up a little bit. Oh, next week. Okay, sorry, 2 weeks. My bad, Mike. All right, we're live next week. I'll see you next week. So anyways, we had a good show last week, had some great call-ins, appreciate all the feedback and ideas, and just kind of want to share something with y'all that recently transpired over the last week. I feel it kind of adds a nice personal touch, boots on the ground kind of viewpoint. More confirmation that we really live in clown world. Last week, we get an email from our school district, and yeah, I already know about the public school districts and all that, but they're basically canceling the bus service for the high school kids. Anybody that lives within the city limits is not allowed to ride the bus anymore because they don't have a bus drivers, they're claiming. Well, what happened was somebody reported them because they were seating three middle schoolers or high schools to a seat. I guess these bus routes are pretty crowded and, but anyways, there were some state rules that, they weren't supposed to do that. And, so anyways, they got reported, which seems a little fishy to me. I'll tell you why in a second, but, and they just basically decide next semester that they're not going to offer bus services for, 600 or so high school kids. So, I don't know. I just thought it was pretty interesting that, I guess the thing is, everybody's saying there's a lack of workers. I guess there's not a lot of a draw to be a bus driver because it's not the greatest of schedules. You're there in the morning, you're there in the afternoon. It doesn't pay that great. But, this district has known this has been a problem for a while. And I went and spoke at the meeting and I told him, I don't know what's worse, the fact that you guys knowingly violated this rule or you were ignorant of the rule. And I don't know, I know they don't like me when I show up there, but again, the moral of the story I really wanted to share with you is, why is everybody saying there's a shortage of workers? I've been hearing this in all sorts of different industries, all different types of places, and it's the same thing. There's a shortage of people, we can't find enough qualified people, blah blah blah. Well, what happened to all the people? What happened to people that want to work or need to work to pay the bills, in quotes? I just don't get it. The only thing I could really think of is that their depopulation agenda is really working out. They've been poisoning us through the water, through the food, through, the environment we're in, look in the skies, you name it. We can't even get clean drinking water, really. So obviously this has been going on for a long time. I guess that's what this show's about, is these depopulation agendas. I don't know. Kind of strikes me as odd that, again, it's another excuse maybe for these companies to raise their prices, to cut their services. We can't find workers. I don't know what to tell you. So I'm kind of tired of the whole excuse, COVID, supply chain issues. Well, of course, we here at RBN know that this is contrived. these supply chain issues are all, I think, in a way, managed and directed. You know, some of them might be natural. I mean, we got the shipping issue in the Panama Canal because of the water levels, and you know, who knows if they're affecting the weather to dry that area up. In my opinion, it's very possible and likely. It just all seems contrived to me. So, you know, we did a little digging, and there's a bunch of school districts that are actually canceling school bus routes. And, you know, if you're going to have compulsory state schools, then you should offer transportation, because that's one of the draws to public schools. And, you know, honestly, the whole charter schools messing things up. I think there's a lot of, you know, school board members that are probably paid by the establishment in one way or another to, you know, indoctrinate the kids, whether it's with the CRT type materials or, you know, to kind of sink the public education system to draw more people or more kids to the private sector. So I think there's just a lot of weird stuff going on in there. Again, you know, there's a lot of people checking out, mostly from the vax, I think, but, you know, again, from the environmental poisons. I've already stated we've never really had clean, healthy food or clean, pure water. I mean, it's just everything they give us is garbage. And so, in my opinion, there's just no way to deny that there is a depopulation agenda at hand. You can pretty much call healthcare death care. You know, the Rockefellers have been in the medical industry for a while, and it's pretty obvious. This is all premeditated. You know, and the thing is, you know, this kill shot was enforced on our fighting age military, our youth, and everyone in between. And so I'm going to play this audio clip, and it's going to kind of talk about the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. So, Mike, if you're available, play that, because I think it's going to lead into a host of other topics and another video I want to play for you a little later. And I'll explain where I got it here in a minute, too. Read,
there was never a pandemic in the 1918 Spanish flu or in the 2020 COVID scamdemic. This was all engineered by the elite to bring about eugenics, getting rid of and or murdering those who the elite felt were unfit to be kept alive. And so they did so in both pandemics through the deadly vaccines. In both scenarios, in 1918, Spanish flu of 1918, and the COVID scamdemic of 2020 and onward, this was an experiment to rid the world of tens of millions of people via depopulation. Now, I did a 14-city tour in 06 where I talked extensively, and that was on the avian flu at the time. Thank God they didn't pull the trigger on that, but that was why I did the tour. But where I highlighted the scam that was going on at the Spanish flu of 1918 and how that was actually caused by the vaccines that were given to the troops. And I give you the link to those videos. They're online. They're in the slide presentation at the Prophecy Club, but they always take that presentation down. Evidently, the Prophecy Club wants to ration the bullets, and they want to make sure that that information you have to pay for if you want to see my presentation. I also do not align myself with the false prophet Tom Deckard at the start of that thing of the Prophecy Club, who, whatever, he's a false prophet. I don't align myself with Stan Johnson either, or the Prophecy Club, so I never did another tour with them. And boy, did he ask me to come back. No, no, no. No. Not what I saw firsthand, not what I found out afterward. I don't want anything to do with the Prophecy Club. He was just on Mike Adams today, too. Typical. You know,
Mike, will you pause Mike Adams, for a sec, Mike? There's a part in here where he's playing a Instagram video, and it's a lady talking. I'm sorry, I must have got you the wrong time frame, but while I pick it up here, if you could just scan ahead and see if you can catch that. It should be right in this area. anyways, I really wanted you guys to hear this, the thing about the 1918 Spanish flu, and a lot of people are really starting to catch on to this whole, you know, virus theory, you know, might be, you know, just garbage. And basically what they did in 1918 was kind of really similar to what they did with the COVID scamdemic. You know, they engineered this, and they engineered it back in 1918, and they gave it to the troops, and it, you know, obviously didn't originate in Spain. It originated in Fort Detrick, Maryland, or one of the other bio labs in the U.S. But point is, like, what I'm theorizing is COVID was probably engineered, in my opinion, with all this electromagnetic frequencies and weapons that they have. I mean, 5G is just a step below their directed energy weapons. And that's really where I'm going with this. I think this is, you know, a plan. And to me, and I'll elaborate on who I think's behind it and what's going on there. So Mike's ready to play that. Mike, go ahead and play that, because it's a good clip.
Let me just see if I can get this reloaded here.
A joint eugenics venture was brokered by John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, Alexander Graham Bell, who invented the telephone, and Mrs. E.H. Harriman, mother of the future statesman Averill Harriman. They had already consolidated their monopolies in oil, railway, steel, and the banking industries. So at this point, they sought to preserve their vast wealth and advance their interests by investing in methods to control and reduce populations. The goal of eugenics was and is to eliminate people whom the elite deemed inferior genetic material. They funded a massive lobbying campaign for the enactment of laws to sterilize those whom they deemed unfit. Sterilization laws were first enacted in 28 states in the United States. Their objective was to sterilize 10% of the American population, that was 15 million Americans. This was to be accomplished under the guise of improving public health and the human race. U.S. sterilization laws served as the model for the Nazi racial hygiene laws. For over a century, the Rockefellers have continued to be the largest financial backers and drivers of eugenics and the depopulation agenda. So this is what mostly I want to talk about, the 1918 Spanish influenza. It's estimated that it killed between 50 and 100 million people worldwide.
Yes.
This catastrophic pandemic has been encased in a false narrative for over a century.
Yes.
An examination of the facts reveals a plethora of similarities between that false narrative of the pandemic in 1918 and the 2020 coronavirus pandemic. The 1918 pandemic was not, it did not emanate from Spain. It was not a flu, nor was it caused by a virus. By misidentifying it as influenza from Spain helped to conceal the true nature and origin. In 1918, as the United States entered World War I, the military was expanded to 6 million men, of whom 2 million were sent to the battlefields of Europe. Scientists at the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, now the Rockefeller University, seized the opportunity to test an experimental vaccine on this now new available pool of human guinea pigs. Few people realize that disease killed far more soldiers on all sides than machine guns and mustard gas or anything else associated with World War I. In January 1918, an experimental meningitis vaccine made from the pus of horses was tested on soldiers. Dr. Frederick Gates, board president of the Rockefeller Institute and trustee of Rockefeller Foundation, began the experiment at Fort Riley, Kansas, in January 1918. In his 1918 published report, he notes that the vaccine was given in three random spitball doses, not exactly accurate. 4,792 men received the first dose. 4,257 got the second dose. And only 3,702 received all three doses. Dr. Gates doesn't record what happened to 1,090 men who did not show up for the third dose. Gates wrote that shortly after being injected,
they were dead, most likely.
Soldiers exhibited flu-like symptoms, including cough, vomiting, and diarrhea. The reactions, he said, simulated the onset of epidemic meningitis.
So this is from the vaccines. This is a first-hand accounts of what was happening to these military-age fighting men from these horrible vaccines they were being given.
But Dr. Gates brushed it aside and declared it was not actual meningitis. One wonders what science Dr. Gates relied on. Influenza outbreaks were recorded at 14 of the biggest armed force training camps. Recovered troops carried and transmitted the infection to healthy soldiers in the battlefields of Europe.
Yep. Yeah, talk about vaccine shedding. This is the first case of true global scamdemic vaccine shedding that had lethal circumstances.
A 2008 report surveyed worldwide fatality and mortality rates during the pandemic. They described how bacteria rapidly spread from infected people to others, particularly in crowded settings, such as hospital wards, military camp barracks, troop ships, and mines. Now, further evidence was obtained from something like 9,000 autopsies worldwide. The autopsies proved that the 1918 flu was not a flu. According to the autopsy lung cultures, bacterial pneumonia killed at least 92.7%. When World War I ended on November 11, 1918, soldiers returned to their home, spreading the killer bacterial pneumonia worldwide. One of the most important eyewitnesses was Dr. Eleanor McBean.
Right.
She witnessed the human carnage at the age of 13.
Yep.
She and her African-American family did not get vaccinated. They remained healthy throughout the pandemic. She became a doctor.
I have slides about her in my presentation from 2006, Eleanor, the doctor.
Mike, go ahead and pause right here real quick. So I thought it was pretty interesting, and, you know, if they were able to do this, you know, 100-something years ago, whatever it was, what are they capable of now? And I just wanted you guys to hear that. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that before. But, you know, to me, this plan has been in motion for a long time, and I think a lot of us here realize that. And, you know, I'll let you guys go into the commercial break coming up here with this, but this is not a human thing. This level of diabolicalness and planning and careful, methodical attention to detail, the way they're organized and unified in their mission, to me, there's only one of three explanations, or possibly a combination of these. It is either some sort of artificial intelligence, it's either demonic, or it's extraterrestrial in origin. I don't think this diabolical depopulation agenda is coming from humans per se. It seems like something wants to exterminate the true nature of humans. So I'll let you guys all think about that at the break, but coming up on a break here, so let's let it roll.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in five easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Talking as life during wartime. I hate to be Johnny Rainmaker, but this is a serious issue, and I wanted to bring this up because there's something I think that possibly correlates to AI being a factor in this. And so, you know, maybe AI has already decided we were an enemy, we were a threat to it. And AI is possibly, you know, helping to orchestrate this planned demolition of our society, you know, everything we know and enjoy in life. And they would just want to take over and control and manage everything. So I think at some point it would realize that we are a threat to its existence. And so I think it's a serious problem that we have not addressed. And the military industrial complex is just obviously pushing ahead with it, keep pushing it through. You know, Elon Musk is just a cutout. You know, he's pushing through his Neuralink thing. You know, Obama with his Blue Brain project or whatever it was. They've been doing this for a while, so you just got to wonder what combination, maybe all three of it. I don't know. I kind of think it is a combination. There's reports of all sorts of ETs, or maybe they're demons. I don't know. I mean, I kind of lean toward the religious thing myself, but I don't preach it because I don't fully understand the Bible enough to preach it. I don't want to be one of those people that, you know, is leading people down the wrong path. So I kind of let you make up your own mind. I talk about what I see, the patterns I'm seeing. So anyways, that's, I just wanted to bring these thoughts out to them, everybody, and see what everybody's thoughts are. And I guess we got a call, Lark in Texas. I'd love to take you, Lark. See what your thoughts are.
Well, I don't hardly know where to begin, to be honest with you.
I know. That's kind of a big, broad topic.
I'll tell you this, though. The machinations, like, is evidenced by the 1918 Spanish flu. We can trace this back, of course, to Thomas Malthus in history. But I think, I don't know, did you ever see a movie called The Elephant Man when you were growing up?
I did see that, yes.
Well, there they talked about the so-called Royal Society. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
This was the philanthropic good people of England that were going to take care of this poor man finally, who had been abused all of his life, and so forth and so on. They had a famous actress they enlisted of the time to comfort him in his what turned out to be his final days on Earth. But yeah, this idea of eugenics has been with us a long time.
Right.
You know, they started fluoridating the water in Detroit in 1945 in America. And it wasn't maybe a dozen years or so ago that I learned about a contentious vote on the Portland, Oregon City Council regarding fluoridating the water. Now, I used to live there for about a year in the 80s. And I'm going to tell you, that was the best tasting public water that I'd ever tasted in my life. I hadn't tasted anything like it since I lived in Japan in the early to mid-60s.
Hmm.
I mean, it wasn't poison, but, you know, they somehow were able to reverse the vote, which was against, and now Portland is the last major American city that has a fluoridated public drinking or water supply. And then you have to look at this problem of, let's put it this way, I'm biased, I admit, okay? If you don't know about communitarianism, communitarian law, you just cannot see the big picture today. That's just my take. I apologize. I understand most people.
Well, I do see what you're saying. And again, it all derives back to the Talmudic law. And so it's just another way of talking about it. It's just another way of defining it and telling people, hey, you know, there's something else to pay attention to here. And yeah, these people are eugenicists. They do have a superiority complex. They think you're an insect, an animal, and, you know, that's just, at the end of the day, I do think what you're talking about is important. I mean, and it has ties into all the transhumanist movement, which is where they're pushing us. And pardon me for interrupting, Lark, but I just wanted to, I got a couple headlines. Oh, we got a break coming? Yeah, let's go to the break real quick and be right back.
You're trying to build a prison.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I didn't mean to interrupt Lark here, but I did want to bring this up too. You know, I got Google phone, whatever, you know, it gives me headlines because I read stories on the nanotechnology or whatever. I'm just going to read the headlines and genetically engineered cell therapies with mRNA liquid nanoparticles for transferable platelets. There was one at the top here. Where is that? Give me a second. I mean, to me, these guys got this stuff dialed in, and they've been high-performance quantum dot photosensor needs no external power source. So, you remember Gates was all involved with the quantum dot stuff and, you know, the wearable patch that, you know, supposedly gives you vaccinations or reports your bodily functions back to the computer mainframe. What I guess what I was getting at is, to me, the technology that they're using, it comes from somewhere else. It's either fallen angels, or it's been developed a long, long time ago here on Earth. Maybe AI has come from another area. I don't know. Again, I just speculate. Wanted to hear you guys' thoughts on that. And, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, the people are helping them do this. Whatever's at the top of this dark power structure, the people are willingly or unwittingly helping to do this. So, Lark, what's your thoughts on that? And then we got another caller here. But you can stay on, Lark, too.
It's real simple. We're talking about unwitting dupes and useful idiots.
Yeah.
I mean, Vladimir Lenin spoke about this. He said, well, we need all the unwitting dupes and useful idiots as we can get.
Right.
And that's what's happened in America. The people have been beguiled by language. They don't even know what they're thinking. Because they are just ingesting these buzzwords all around them, and then they adopt them unto themselves.
Right.
They're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. I mean, I'll just leave you with this. You know, back in the 80s, I was interested in new music, what was called new wave and punk, okay? And I don't know why, because it was something different. You know, I got sick of hearing Led Zeppelin, okay, and Aerosmith. Or whatever, you know. I mean, I was just tired of it.
Yeah.
And I loved that music as much as anybody back in the day. I mean, all my friends were music snobs all my adult life, you know. And so anyway, I remember moving to San Francisco from Fort Worth, Texas in 1981. And let me tell you something. I could not walk the streets of that city without my fists doubled up. And the same thing happened when I moved to Portland and then to Seattle. Let me tell you something. I hated yuppies with a passion. I despise these people.
What about granola yuppies or granola yuppies?
Just yuppies, okay, all of them. Yeah, granola yuppies too, okay? Because I could see right through their mask, you know, and I was sick of fake people. But you know, want to know something? Fast forward to today, and I realize that these techies today are living in a Pollyanna world. It makes me just wretch. You know, and so back in the 80s, I hated yuppies. Now I just hate techies. And when I talk about techies, I'm talking about these people that have allowed themselves to become unwitting dupes and useful idiots and actually work toward our own destruction. You know, the people that are, it's just like in a mafia town. You know what happens in a mafia town? The code of silence, the code of omerta. That's the Sicilian code of omerta, O-M-E-R-T-A, or code of silence. That's what takes hold in the people. They go along to get along. They're afraid to step away from their own shadows. And this is everywhere you turn. And that's why in a communitarian world, you have to face the fact that you are behind enemy lines. You are surrounded by zombies and criminals involved in organized crime. So I don't think it's angels or fallen angels or aliens or anything else. It's easily explained. You know, what happens when these people, say they come from a small town, they've got a moral compass that was ingrained into them since they were children. Maybe they went to church. I don't know. You know, but they have a strong sense of right and wrong. But when they come out of these universities, they learn that the only absolute is that there are no absolutes, and that includes morality. And when we talk about things like humanism and scientism, those are religions today.
Yeah.
But at the nexus between humanism, and there's a whole history behind it, if anybody care to look. I guarantee you most people on this network have never heard of Paul Kurtz, K-U-R-T-Z, the father of secular humanism. Who was this guy? They don't realize that a lot of these things like the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Hague Conventions, and these sort of things, they come from Thomas Paine. Americans don't know these things. The Age of Reason, the Rights of Man. And so today, there's another thing that emanates from the Hebrews or the world of the Jews and the Masons. And this is called the Law of the Moser, M-O-S-E-R. What is that? That is the law of the informer. So anybody that steps out of line, remember, you're living in a mafia town, and you're living under this thing called the code of silence. Because you live in a mafia town. You're surrounded by corruption and organized crime. The informer, the way they deal with the informer is like Frederick Blackburn talks about on this network. Remember the five Bs? I call it the 5B hustle. You know, bribe, blackmail, bully, banish, bury. This is how they get you to shut up. People are afraid to lose their jobs, so they say nothing. And that means that they are compliant, complacent, and complicit.
Yep.
And that's the facts. It's not aliens. It's not the reptilians. It's not fallen angels. It's not, let me tell you something, it's not just the Jews either.
I agree with that. It's not just them. Right.
What about all the people that are enthralled with whatever it is the Jews are doing? I mean, look at the major corporations today. I mean, it's so pervasive in American life. I mean, these are like name brands that we shop with. A lot of these things were established by Jews and Freemasons. I mean, look at companies like Procter & Gamble. Have they ever made a product in their entire existence that wasn't poison? What about Unilever? I mean, we could go on and on and on, but the people themselves are actually complicit in the murder and the destruction and the poisoning of our minds and our bodies in America. That's the facts.
I agree. It's 100% agree. However, I will add that they have been using advanced psychological warfare on us. You know that. They've got names for it. You can elaborate on that point. But they have been, you know, alleged to be doing, you know, satanic ritual abuse to mind control and program these people into, like, sex kittens or, you know, assassins or politicians or whatever. So, yes, they're all actors, and they belong in an actor's guild in a way, but in a way they're all, like, covert Satanists. And so, you know, that's kind of their religion. What's the ultimate sacrifice? They want to sacrifice us all to Satan in a way, in my opinion. I don't know for sure either. I mean, I speculate it's all of the above in a way. Because, you know, to me, this thing is much too complex for just humanity to just stumble into this negative loop that we're in. To me, this negative loop was set up, and now we're running on this hamster wheel, and very few people are able to pull off of it. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is the tech has taken hold of our minds and culture.
Yeah.
We live in a hyper-connected world. I mean, they've got the ideal tool to literally surveil and conduct industrial espionage on everything. Today, I mean, Frederick and Michael from Kentucky were speaking on a previous broadcast on this network about the fourth industrial telephony, you know, the merger of the telephone systems with the computer systems and how these Israelis took control of it. Well, hell yeah. There's no question we're being spied on. And this was before 9/11.
Yeah, this was in like the 80s and 90s. They had the backdoor access to all the AT&T switching boards, basically. And they were able to spy on all Americans, pretty much.
And look at all the good. See, there's a lot of people that are ostensibly good people. They go into law. They go into medicine. They go into nursing. All kinds of fields. And they want to do well. They want to do good in the world. Okay? They figure this might be their calling. And what happens is they get swept up into organized crime. It happened to me. I mean, I was in the industry for 25 years until I was 40 years old at the top of my game, and I had to leave the industry because it was so disheartening that, you know, I was actually involved in organized crime and I couldn't break free from it. So this is what happens with attorneys and politicians and doctors and nurses and even university professors, people in the tech field. I mean, I used to say all the time, I mean, I can't even talk to somebody that watches television. I have nothing to talk to them about. You know, people that want to be talking about current events all the time, I can't take it. Because from what context? I mean, what are you doing is just spewing the agitprop coming out of the Talmud vision, for God's sake. And then you think that you're getting reliable sources in the alternative media? You know, and you're spewing the same thing. This is why I say that, you know, why is it that so-called memetic engineering and meme theory is a principal topic of discussion with the Department of Defense? And remember I talked about Catherine Watt, how she's traced this COVID scam to the American Department of Defense.
Right.
They're
right.
The ones that are behind this bioweapon. And all these big pharma companies that are headed up by Jews, they're happy to get these multi-million-dollar contracts, okay? Because, I mean, this is what the government. This is not our government. Anybody that thinks this is our government is out of their flipping mind.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think any of these people are qualified at all to live my life for me, to do my thinking for me, and that's why I'm so cynical today. I hate yuppies just as much as they did in the 80s. But you know what? Today, I just hate techies. Period. So anyway, I've already had my say. I'll shut up.
Well, we got Andy on Texas, and we should bring him on. We're going to have a commercial, Andy, but come on and tell us what you're thinking.
Oh, hey, I couldn't agree any more with Lark than, you know, I mean, he's stating it really true. But I want to go a little bit distance further. I mean, and a lot of people don't like to talk about this, but it's like, you know, we were put here for a reason. But most people just feel like, oh, crap, I'm here. Let me just live my life. Well, they've grabbed a hold of the entire idea of life, and they've thrown it in your face and made you think this is what life is all about. What they did was they took away the ability of us to be in connection with our creator. And I'm not talking about a Christian creator, a Presbyterian creator, a Jewish creator, a Muslim. I'm not talking about that. There's a creator. I mean, this is just too spectacular to not have somebody who created it. I don't believe in the Darwin theory and whatnot. But the thing is that with the way they did this, so we think they're trying to kill us with all these poisons and stuff. I think what they're really trying to do, besides that, is to actually destroy our mental ability and our spirituality to realize that there's something bigger than this. I mean, would you agree with that, Travis?
Yeah, I would. And that, I was going to play a Naomi Wolf video. She's interviewing another guy that basically he theorizes that the quote unquote vaccine. And of course, they're talking about virus theory. They're talking about COVID. You know, they think that it is affecting people's brains where they're helping to destroy their memory. And it actually, they're with this repetition that they're doing in the news cycles and whatnot, it's able to rewrite their memories. And so basically what they're kind of theorizing is, you know, like these people are very susceptible to Alzheimer's and they're getting their memories kind of wiped and, you know, rewritten with all their garbage. And so these people pretty much blindly defend the agenda. So when you talk about the vaccine or the Jews or whatever,
they lose their stuff because they somehow equate it to you personally attacking them and their beliefs. It was pretty bizarre. I'm going to leave it in the links for all you people to listen to. But, yeah, we got a commercial break, and I guess we got Ken in Texas, so we'll all hang out here. Let's take a break, guys. Right back.
Some of them want to get used by you. Some of them want to abuse you. Some of them want to be abused.
Till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Thank you, Mike. Different music. I got Ken in Texas here, and I got Andy, and I got Lark. Lark, I just wanted to mention, you mentioned the military industrial complex, and I was talking about those technologies that I'm seeing coming out. And, you know, there's no question that they're well ahead in their technology that they've been using for a while, and we're probably 20, 50, who knows how many years behind what they're playing with, what they acknowledge. And now it's just starting to come out that they have access to all these, you know, optogenetics and all these weird biosensors and, you know, wide, you know, body area networks. So just want to, anything's possible at this, in this day and age. And Ken, I want to let you in here and we'll get everybody's opinion here. What do you got, Ken? How you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. Well, it's pretty hard to follow up after you guys, you know, so I'll have to stand on your all shoulders and go from there.
You're good.
Yeah, where do I start? As far as the AI goes, I'll see your AI and raise you one in that I think that the AI was programmed to do what it's doing from the get-go. I don't think that it, you know, all of a sudden became aware of who the enemy was or whatever. It was programmed that way. And the reason I say that is because in the long, long, long ago, when I was a techie myself, which, by the way, I had to bail out of because I saw the forest through the trees, I was noticing, you know, who the coders were. So it didn't matter which system it was, or if it was database administrators, or if it was people programming routers and switches and firewalls and all that. But most of the people involved were not people that I personally considered should be having that type of access, that type of power, because they didn't think like I thought they should think in terms of the general good of people. You know, it was all about, you know, making money and status and, you know, stuff like that. So start out with that. The other is on the A or the alien thing. I studied that quite extensively, and I paid a high price for that. In terms of friends and family, and dropping out of college, all that kind of stuff, to try to figure out what was going on with all that. Because I had basically reduced it to the simple either or, you know, either it's true and the Bible's wrong, or the Bible's right and the alien hypothesis is wrong.
Hey, but, Ken, hang tight with that thought and we'll take a break real quick. But I want to hear what you thought of that is, because Mike's got to run a break real quick.
Sure.
All right, thanks.
Welcome to my fourth annual Volkswagen Conspiracies Conference 2023, a virtual event on the 16th and 17th of December. Outstanding speakers, Ace Baker, Brian Davidson, Fred Lochter, Donald Jeffries, Stephanie Sledge, Dr. Meryl Ness, Giuseppe Vafangulo, Joaquin Egobian, Dr. Reed Labo, Jack Mullen, Joe Olson, Brian Davidson, Monique Lucan, Scott Bennett, Nick Kullerstrom, Russ Winter, Ron Avery, Miriam Hanane, John Kaminsky, Sarah Westall, Dr. Catherine Horton. This is something you don't want to miss. 500 free Zoom tickets are available. Register now. Go to falseflagsandconspiracyconference.com/tickets/ to get it now.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.